many things. I don't see many things. We make me think many things. We tell you me pass anything. We make me think many things. We tell you me pass anything. And that's time they go.
happen to you and me.
We Africans.
The way to be this matter self. The way to be this matter self. Mosquito they biting me. Yeah. Bite me a sick for body. Mosquito they biting me. It bite me a sick for body.
Live and direct, this is Bro Diallo broadcasting straight out of this sanctuary hypocrisy that is the city of Chicago, state of Chirac, state of Drillinois, I'm sorry, the city of Chirac. That was the Mosquito Song, Sheyun Kuti, Egypt 80. I started us off with the Sheyun because the 11th, just a couple of days ago, was Sheyun's birthday, born to us. Oh, how old is he? Like 36? He's still relatively young, but 83, yes. January 11th, 83 is Sheyun's birthday, or as they chant at his shows, Fela lives, reincarnation. So I'm glad I was able to start us off with something inspirational, something positive, something definitively African, definitively black, definitively pan-African, definitively conscious, because that's probably about the only shine I'm going to get today, because now I'm going to be delving into another, I hate using this word, but everything's relative, all things are relative, so why should I have to say relatively, but I'm going to say it anyway, something relatively unpleasant. And me personally, what I'm going to talk about today on the Bro Diallo Show, did I get everything out of the way? Did I do the house cleaning? Well, if I have to do it again, I wasn't here Friday because I was sick. I was under the weather. I am still recovering. I don't know if I'm allowed to say I'm in recovery because I don't know. I feel like I'm getting better. I mean, recovery might be too strong of a word, but I feel much better. Even though I don't look much better, I feel much, much, much better than I did over the past few days and weekends. I had an important meeting that I think was successful. I'm proud of how that went. So Friday, I drug myself out of the house. And it was hard. It set me back a little bit because, like I said, when I don't do well with acute flus and the cold and all that. I just, everybody ain't that strong, as Gil Scott-Heron said. But anyway, I'm back on my feet. I'm out of the house. I'm out of the bed, and I'm recovering. But I'm not all the way back yet. I'm gonna need another couple of more days. But you know, it is what it is. But let me get the house cleaning out of the way, the formalities out of the way. As I said, this is the Bro Diallo Show. I'm broadcasting out of Chicago. Oh, wait, yeah, I forgot to do that part. What is today? Today. Today is the 13th, right? 14th. Wow. Man, I've lost some days, man. Today is January 14th in the year of your Lord, 2019. You can listen to Bro Diallo. You are listening to Bro Diallo on AM 1680 or at Q4 Radio or on the TuneIn app or iTunes Radio or at the Diallo Kenyatta YouTube Live page. I'm out here. I'm everywhere. I could not do Facebook Live this morning. I don't know if I'm suspended yet again from Facebook Live or what's going on, but I just gave up trying to hook that up this morning. So if you need to see just how bad I'm looking, how real the struggle is, you can go to YouTube. But I advise you to just listen at AM 1680, TuneIn app, iTunes Radio, or at the Q4 site, because you know I'm like I said, I'm in recovery. The struggle is real out here. Don't start no rumors that I went out and got on that stuff or nothing like that. It's just the flu, a pretty bad one. But anyway, I'm back. Prayers went up. Nothing came back, but still I'm getting better. But anyway, as I was saying, I'm very happy that I was able to start us off with some uplifting, inspirational, definitively black, definitively pan-African, definitively inspirational, because I'm about to say some things that have brought me some trouble in the recent past and distant past. And I'm just going to jump right into this issue because it's something I've been wanting to talk about, something I've been cussed out about, something I didn't got in trouble about, something people tearing me down about, calling me negative about. And that's what it's called. The title of today's show is The Achievement Trap. And I ain't going down no rabbit holes. I'm going to get right to it because I don't know how long my voice is going to last. I don't know how long I might, you know, just fall out in this seat. I don't feel well. I'm feeling better. And I know y'all sick of me hearing me say that, but, you know, I'm trying to put out those positive vibrations. Apparently, scientists have found that humans actually do have auroras. We have energy receptors, meaning we can read and receive one another's auroras, vibrational frequencies, chakras, and meridians. All that stuff is real. So my world has been turned. Not only do I have a flu bug, but my world has been turned upside down. It turns out all these hooky, spooky, weirdo, spiritualist people were right all along. Who knows? There might be a God out there. I pray that there isn't, because the gods y'all have conceived of are some sadistic, self-centered monsters. Murderous, self-centered, sadistic monsters. Murderous, sexist, sadistic, self-centered monsters. Racist, murderous, sexist, sadistic, self-centered monsters. You know, so who knows? But I'm all about the evidence. I haven't read. I've actually have compiled a few articles of these people who have been posting and going to look into the methodology that they've used to identify human auras and identify chakras, what instruments and methodologies they use to confirm these things that I once thought were purely mythological. So So I'm taking L's. The rationalist, scientific, skeptical point of view. I'm taking L's. I'm taking ideological chops to the throat. But hey, because I'm a rationalist, if there is evidence, then I will adjust my position. It ain't that complex, and it's not painful. It is what it is. But moving on, I ain't got time for all that, because like I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to hold myself together. So what I'm going to do, what I have about to go and do, is get right to the topic. And some people are happy about that, because some people are like, why don't you just get to the point? I'm going to have to play that by SZA. Every time somebody tells me to get to the point, that's what comes to my mind. Oh, and I'm just seeing this. Some white dude on my feed telling me I'm lost. And, you know, it's a white dude claiming to have African lineage. Calling me a Klansman or a Nazi. Man, mess. My life is a mess right now. Where's Iyanna Van Zandt? Come exploit my life. I mean, excuse me. Not exploit my life. Fix my life, Iyanna Van Zandt. I'm sick. I got white people, racists calling me the Nazi. It's just, everything is upside down. It turns that all this energy and vibration, positivity stuff has got some merit to it. Man. Anyway, I said I was going to get straight to the point. Get to the point. So let me get to the point. The achievement trap. I've been got in trouble. See, that's what happens when you don't achieve, when you don't strive to better yourself in America. You say stuff like that. I've got in trouble from black folks because I have not been promoting, advocating, supporting black achievement. I have actually been disparaging black achievement, mocking black achievement, and at even times discouraging black achievement. And black achievement is all we live for. Even to this day, 2019, 2018, I still see black people posting images of black first. Recently, we've had the first black woman who has reached the rank of general in the United States Marine Corps. We've had the first black woman nuclear physicist. We have our first black township with the all black female judiciary. Hey, brothers, man, let me think of some recent black firsts for brothers. I mean, shoot, first black president in my lifetime. Glory, glory. We had our first black joint chiefs of staff in my lifetime. Black man, Colin Powell. First black secretaries of state. We still got black people celebrating black firsts, but it ain't just the black first. Every year, and it's coming up in a couple of months. This is the time of year. I have a son who's a junior in high school. So this is the time of year where the children start getting ready for graduation, the seniors, the juniors start going to college visits, start scoping out, start reviewing the high school transcript, taking the ACTs, SATs, and all that mess. And they start finding out where they're going to go to college, where they're going to go to complete their indoctrination. And they start posting online. There's a black kid with a 5.0 GPA. I didn't know such a thing even existed. I graduated with a 1 point something and change GPA from high school, a Catholic high school. They done tried to bring me down like Bobby did Whitney. But anyway, when the children start finding out where they're going, what scholarships they're going to get, and then on social media, you find some black folks posting this black child. They ain't even related to them. They don't even know this kid. It's just a black kid from the ether. From around the way somewhere, not even in the same city. And they're posting with pride, bubbling over with pride about this black child is going off to Harvard. Or one black child got accepted to Brown, to Harvard, to Berkeley, to Stanford, to what's the other? Hell, I throw in Howard University. Is Howard still up? Is Howard still got the lights on? Does Howard put they water bill in their niece's name? What's going on with Howard? Y'all give me an update, because I've been excluded from the black bourgeoisie, so I have to, you know, look from the outside. I got kicked out the house. I'm back in the field with the rest of y'all, even though I worked hard and got me a formal education. So what's going on at Howard amongst the black bourgeoisie? But I digress. And they send these praises. They send these accolades out to these strange children because they're going off to the higher heights. And then we have these movements in the black community about STEM. Black children must study STEM. And all these schools and all these boutique schools and all these schools funded by rappers and ball chasing athletes. These little boutique schools where the children get free computers and free bike helmets. And black people are like, yes, glory. With these trickle-down economics, they made it and they reaching back, giving something back. And all this just black progress, all this black achievement, all these black people making it happen, capping. That don't even speak to. That's just the up-and-comers. That's just us strivers. The first black working class trying to get something. That don't even account for the black people that have already made it, the black billionaires. Millionaires and billionaires, as we had to hear Bernie say for several months. Millionaires and billionaires. Black millionaires and billionaires. The J&B. The money team. Money Mayweather. Media moguls. Corporate heads of state. Investor class. Venture capitalist. And that's just here in the States. If you go over to our mother continent, our home, Mother Africa, and you got Africans that can buy and sell Oprah 5-10 times over. Real money. Nigerian oil oligarchs, tech giants, you know. Black people just doing it big, doing good, achieving. Black achievement. And we who are not there, we can look up to J&B. We can look up to Todd Purr. We can look up to moguls, Bob Johnson. We can look up to black academics, black PhDs. We can look up to Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Obama. If we ain't there, we know that there's a there that we could get to keep hope alive, to pursue the dream. And here come me, a hater, a perpetrator, a faker, a hotep, what y'all call me? Ashy. And I'm saying, man, that's a trap. It's a trap, and not the good kind of trap, not the gangster kind of trap, not the street kind of trap. But the trap, regular trap, like the cage, like a bear trap. It's got a little piece of meat in there, and the animal goes, sticks his snout in that trap and gets his snout clamped off. Or he's a weary animal, so he doesn't stick his snout in the trap. He just puts his paw in the trap and get his paw caught. And then he has to stand there and wait for the hunter to come skin him alive, or he has to chew his own damn paw off to escape. No good out. I say it's an achievement trap. For years, we've talked about the achievement gap, the technology gap, the housing gap, the savings gap, the wealth gap. We've been hearing about these gaps between blacks and whites as if they should be our freaking standard. But I digress. For years, all my life, I've been hearing about these gaps. And the overall, all those gaps between black and white, we call that the achievement gap that encompasses all of that. White people own more houses. White people blah, blah, blah. White people watch less TV. Bloody, bloody, blue, blah, blah. Sorry. If I start speaking gibberish, just bear with me. Like I said, I have the flu, damn it. I've got, still have a low-grade fever. It ain't all good over here. But I still stand by everything I say, even if it could be attributed to the feverish rant. I stand by it. I said it. Unless there's any evidence to counter what I'm saying, then I don't stand by it. I will make the necessary adjustments. But I continue to digress deeper. Regress. All my life I've been hearing about the achievement. And then what's the other black, talk about affirmation, black mantra? You got to be half as good to get twice as far. Get in the car. Listen, listen, black people. I came up. I lived the black life. I'm just like you. Mbutu, I am. Therefore, we are. We are. Therefore, I am. So I understand it. I know what it's like to want things, to have things, to want to have things. I know what it's like to have deficits, severe deficits, material deficits, and I know what it's like to have adequacy. I don't know what abundance is like. I don't know private yacht, private jet. No, I don't know that. I've only seen that from a distance. But I've heard about it. And I know people that know that. I've talked to them. I've even interviewed them at length. So all aspects of black existence, from the doldrums to the dregs, I've been everything to dank, moth, vermin-infested prison cells that held black people up to mansions and summer homes out in the Hamptons. I've seen all the spectrum that I know of black existence, especially in the America, the wealthiest, greatest country in the world. I've seen it all. And I understand what it's like to want to elevate out of that prison cell and make it to that summer home in the Hamptons. I understand. I sympathize with black folks and the work that it takes to get there. I appreciate the talents of LeBron James's, what's the other dude's name? The other talented dude, R. Kelly. I don't know. Some people with talent. The business acumen of an Oprah, the tenacity of an Obama. I appreciate, I understand all of that, but I still say it's all, I wish I could cuss, it's all for naught. See, I didn't have to cuss. Yes, it's all for naught. Don't mean a damn thing. It's a whole bunch of nothing. How dare I? All these black people making all these wonderful achievements, demonstrating to the world that we could be great. Black is beautiful. Black, blah, 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 blah. And then you got millions of black girls inspired to be Oprahs, which is my nightmare scenario. That's all we need is a bunch of more Oprahs. So I've concluded. I've come to recognize, to understand that I come to recognize that it's all a trap. It's all a hustle. And one thing black folks, at least in my day, didn't like is being hustled, getting played. There were all kind of songs about don't play me, don't play me over, don't play me out. Don't try to get over on us. And I guess I'll say why. Because when I had said that one of the most insidious traps that our oppressors ever set for us was this achievement trap. It's one of the most inescapable traps. One that we have struggled with, even though even when we overcome all the other traps that white folks have set for us since they opened, they released the chains. Since they took off the shackles. Since they legislated our very humanity in the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment that gave us citizenship, that outlawed our bondage unless we're convicted of a crime. That made our citizenship retroactive and gave our citizenship to all of our children in perpetuity. It is the greatest trap that we don't recognize. And remember, this ain't the only trap. There was the trap of European beauty standards. That is still a trap that many of our people are in. But generally, when you find an educated, traveled, affluent, well-read or semi-well-read, semi-literate black person, I'm finding more and more black people as I just travel the streets of my community, of my hood. I'm finding more and more black people have escaped the European standard of beauty trap. You know, I've even found that they're the sales of skin bleachers. Even the Koreans are getting nervous because, you know, the fake hair extension, the blonde hair wigs and the toxic chemicals you use to adjust your hair. The surgical procedures amongst blacks to give us more European features. To narrow our noses, to thin out our lips. That's going down. And even the people who get those procedures, even Lil' Kim or Michael Jackson, even the black people who still elevate, who are still in the clutches of the European beauty trap, standard of beauty trap, they deny it to your face. You find a black woman, and it was a time. Some of y'all young people don't understand. There was a time where black people would say out and out, ugh, black hair is ugly. Nappy hair is nasty. It's dirty. White hair, good hair. But now even we've evolved enough to where even if a black woman could be standing there with surgically mutilated nostrils, a black people could be standing there with blonde, a black person with blonde hair, blue eye contacts, looking right at you. And they will say, I'm proud to be black. And they say, I ain't doing this to look white. This is just my personal self-expression. Even though they a damn lie. Kanye will sit there and tell us he's moving to Chicago Southside. Kanye with his blue eye contacts on, with his Confederate flag, with his MAGA hat, and say, I love black. So that is a progress. Not much progress, but you got to call it when you see it. So even the European beauty standards trap, black people have, if we haven't escaped from it, many black people have completely escaped from it. Y'all talk about how beautiful Lupita is. Y'all all Wakanda forever. And I can dig it, baby. But even the black people who are still within the clutches of the trap, who haven't gnawed off their arm to get loose from that trap, they recognize the trap, at least the trap. And even if you can't escape a trap, recognizing the trap is the first step to avoiding the trap, or at least securing future generations from falling into the trap if you recognize and acknowledge the trap. So the European beauty standard trap and all the other self. There's another trap, the denial of history trap. Remember, they said Africans sat in darkness until Europeans came to awaken us, to liberate us. And many black people said, thank God for slavery, because if it wasn't for slavery, we'd live in that dark continent, that backwards continent, that impoverished continent of Africa. And we would have never known the light and love and warmth and salvation of Jesus Christ. Thank God these people came and God anointed, God put on the hearts of these people, Allah, if you will, the same damn history. You can plug in whatever alien God, but, you know, Allah came and awakened Africa, North Africa, from Egypt to Senegal and every player in between, colonized, raping and enslaving, but giving us the prophet's message. Or Christians, I would straight up say, I'd rather have Jesus in America than Satan and devil in Africa. But most black people, even black people who still bow to these enslaver gods, who still worship these colonial gods, will tell you, no, I don't appreciate what they did. They try to deny it. They try to do psychological, mental gymnastics and historical manipulation. But even the biggest black Christian, the biggest black Muslim will look you in the eye and tell you straight up, Africa is the home of humanity. Africa is the home of civilization. So that whole Africa waited in darkness, that historical distortion trap, that whole, when they told me when I was in school, they called the, when white people went around the world colonizing and murdering and raping, they said that was the age of exploration. They taught me that Europeans were a curious people. They didn't tell me that Europeans were a brutish, savage, ecocidal, starving people that had destroyed their own ecosystem and it exploited each other almost on the brink of extinction. And they left Europe not for out of curiosity, not because of the age of enlightenment and curiosity, but they left Europe because they needed something to eat. They left Europe full of diseases, malnourished, sick, and violent, vicious predators, a cornered dogs, and they reached Africa's shore, damn near starving. They reached the shores of the New World, damn near starving, and the righteous, civilized Africans and the righteous, civilized Native Americans and the righteous, civilized Aboriginal people did what we do as a people and help the stranger, feed the stranger, educate the stranger, bathe the stranger, give shelter and comfort to the stranger. Didn't build border walls. And then after we nursed them back to health, they proceeded to enslave us. They didn't teach me that. But now I know. Now I can quote the history. I've read the true history books. I've read the logs. Truth is out. So the historical distortion trap. And there are so many traps. The economic trap. In the economic trap, it is indirectly or directly related to the achievement trap, but the achievement trap is much more insidious. The economic trap, I used to hear that white people have everything they have because they work hard, they save their money, they work together, white folks are unified, and black people don't stick together, and we lazy. All we do is dance and listen to me, boo, boo, boo. Well, white folks are like the little chipmunks. They saving up their little nuggets in their pouches until a rainy day. And that's why they have all the houses, all the money, all the jobs, all the opportunity. It's because they're so hardworking and moral and we're so immoral and lazy. But now we know. If Trump don't drive that home for you, nothing will. White folks, what they didn't steal, they scammed. What they didn't scam, they stole. Now we all know about the redlining. We all know about the New Deal compensation, everything from the GI Bill to the WPA, all of these government handouts. Remember, black people were on welfare. Now we know that white people have always outnumbered us on welfare benefits, especially when you include in corporate welfare, when you include in international welfare. Remember, we all thought Africa was such a needy place and Haiti was such a needy place and Jamaica, everybody, all these black countries sitting here begging America for help. Now we learned that Israel gets more welfare and handouts from the small country of Israel gets more handouts from America than the whole continent of Africa. And then we learn that supposed these places that get handouts like Nigeria actually send more wealth abroad, send more wealth to the EU and more wealth to the U.S. than they get back in foreign aid. They send out more wealth than they get back in. So there's a lot of traps that we had that we don't even know they're traps. We just think this is just common sense now. Some young people are so slick. They think, oh, we've always known these things. We don't acknowledge the work that has been done to bring us these insights, to awaken our people. And you're so hip to what people in the past didn't understand. You know, y'all got all these slick terms like 4C, melanated, all this slick, cool talk. And you look back on black people who were bleaching skin, wearing blonde wigs and contacts and trying to, you know, believe in not knowing their history and stuff that's common knowledge now that was a great revelation just 20, 30, 40 years ago. But then because you so hip to what was known now, you don't see what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know now. If we continue this work and this struggle, hopefully, prayerfully, that down the line, the things that we are backwards in and ignorant of, such as eating meat, our descendants will be like, it was common sense. We were so backwards back then. So even though we recognize and see all these traps throughout society, and there are dozens of them that I don't have time to get into. My voice is giving out on me. My vision is blurry. Don't worry. The achievement trap is one that we not only have not escaped, It's not one that we often don't see. And even when we see it, we still run to it. We see the trap. We see the juicy slice of meat with the steel cage around it, with the iron jaws around it, and we still run to it. We race to it. We knock each other out the way. We compete for that slice of meat in that trap. And when we get caught in the trap, we think we've won. And then when one of us gets caught in the achievement trap, all the rest of us who are left outside the achievement trap are upset. Or some of us who ain't haters celebrate, yay, you're in the achievement trap. I hope one day I can get in the achievement trap. Close the achievement gap. Now, why am I so hateful? Why am I so anti-progress? Why am I so anti-black people getting theirs? Black people doing them. Do you? It's simple. It's simple. All of our achievements within the system have ultimately led to our regression, led to our vulnerability and dependence on our oppressor. Why do I say that? To me, it was obvious. Actually, when I had posted a tweet where I had said, black achievement is one of the greatest mind rapes, one of the greatest traps, one of the greatest weapons that white people have used against us. And some bright young Black Lives Matter, progressive, young, woke lady was like, what the hell does that even mean? And people were on my blog like, what the hell? Who talks like this? How can anyone say that black achievement is a bad thing? Like, in what way? How is Oprah having billions of dollars? What's wrong with that? How is LeBron James opening up a boutique school? And y'all don't hear about it. Y'all follow up game is weak as hell. Y'all good for shooting them jumpers, but y'all never crash the boards. You know, it's just where the ball falls, it falls. What's up with LeBron James school? Because I sure called hell when I criticized it, but I don't see y'all speaking about the progress. I don't see y'all interviewing the students or talking to the parents or community members. For all y'all know, the damn school could be shut down before it opened. But anyway, y'all, what's up with Oprah's school? But I digress. Let me just get to the point, because I don't think I have too much time here with y'all today. Here we go. Amos Wilson said, damn, over 20 years ago. And I'm just going to say some specific issues. Y'all tie it together, because I can't. But before I get into that, let me say today it's 8 a.m. Central Standard Time here in the city of Chicago. You're listening to the Bro Diallo Show on Q4 Radio, TuneIn app, iTunes Radio, AM 1680. You can find me here live on the air. A Bro Diallo Show every Monday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Wednesday, 7 a.m., and Friday, 7 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you find a Bro Diallo Show live. You can also find me at Diallo Kenyatta across the social media spectrum. I'm not on Snapchat, but, you know, I got a Tumblr blog, Twitter, Facebook, and mainly YouTube. Please go to YouTube and subscribe. I'm trying to get up to 1,000 subscribers, at least on YouTube. Also, you can support the Bro Diallo Show and the other efforts that I do at Patreon/Diallo Kenyatta. And there are certain rewards for all the people who have contributed. In this new year, I am working diligently. I'm going to have something out for y'all before the end of the month to show my gratitude and you, for your ongoing support. And is that everything with that? Yeah. Let us proceed. The achievement trap. As I was saying, Professor Amos Wilson told us coming up on 3 decades ago that black people, elevation and integration into this individual, black people's individual elevation and integration into the systems and institutions of global white domination is inversely proportional to our collective elevation. Let that sink in. What Amos Wilson basically said in that statement, and he backed it up, and this is a paraphrase. He said that the more black doctors we have educated and graduated in the United States, we have more black doctors, and then we turn around and find that we have higher rates of chronic disease, more rates of medical discrimination, or what's been come to be called medical apartheid. Get that book, Medical Apartheid. We have more unsanctioned, unscrupulous experimentation of black on black people. We have more medical neglect of black people, so on and so forth. We have increasing infant mortality rates, maternal mortality rates. Black people are dying of curable diseases. Black people are getting less access to adequate preventative care. Black people are less likely to receive organ transplants, stay on the list longer than whites. Black people are having our lifespan is becoming foreshortened in relationship to white people. Even for black women, mainly our very stature, as the rest of humanity grows in stature, physical stature, black women tend to be shrinking because of their many health challenges, not even to deal with the psychological and emotional reality of being a black person in a racist white society. And our medical psychological professionals are not helping with that. Black people are over-medicated for things we don't need. Psychotropic drugs, drugging our children, Ritalin, Paxil, Zoloft, and there are black pharma professionals, black psychological professionals drugging our youth to death. And then when we do develop some true actual disease pathological process, we get under-medicated for pain medicine. We get under-medicated for treatment of actual diseases and over-medicated for invented diseases. Yet every year I got to see all y'all black folks posting pictures of these black buff doctors, these muscle-bound black doctors with contoured makeup on and plucked eyebrows, and I'm talking about the male doctors, and all muscles rippling out of their things, and black people busting over with pride. Look at these sexy black doctors. And I'm looking at, look at these ugly ass black health statistics. Who gives a damn how sexy the black doctors are or how many of black doctors there are if it doesn't translate into positive outcomes, positive health stats for the black community? But it don't stop there. Talking about inversely, the more we achieve individually, the less we gain collectively. What's up with that? Let's look at the financial sector. We got more black MBAs now than any time in history, more black financial professionals than any time in history, more black capitalist investors, venture capitalists, vulture capitalists like Jay-Z is. More black individuals with more black accumulated monetary wealth of fiat currency than any other time. But yet, black people, the black masses, have fewer businesses. We have less pool of investment capital, meaning that the black billionaires are going to invest in Israeli firms. They're going to invest in Asian firms. They're going to invest everywhere but the black community or even the continent of Africa. And even when they go to invest in Africa, it's not investing in Africa. They, most of them, invest in extractive industries that extract wealth out of Africa, not build wealth up in Africa. But then we get a picture of 50 Cent and Jay-Z going to dig a well in some rural African village, and we think, oh, they're helping Africa too. And they come in and dig a well, and then they walk out with millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, in Africa's assets to put in foreign accounts, mainly Swiss bank offshore white accounts, white pockets, and convert it to white currency. So the more black financial expertise we develop, the fewer black financial progress and financial stability that the black masses get. But it don't stop in the medical and the financial sector. You go on over to the judicial sector. We got more black cops, more black lawyers, more black judges, more black prosecutors, more black politicians and legislators in the federal and state governments than we ever had since Reconstruction. But yet, black people get locked up for longer than any other time in history. They find that black judges are bringing down the gavel on our necks just as hard as the white judges do. They find that the black cops are trigger happy when they see unarmed black children, just like the white cops are trigger happy. They find that the black CEOs are just as down to torture, mutilate, maim, molest, rape, and dehumanize black inmates as the white CEOs are. So we got all these black professionals, all these black people with letters before and after their name. All these black individuals. Shall we go to the sciences? Shall we go to the media industry? We got more black people in media back then. All we had was Berry Gordy. There was a time where all we had was one or two black actors in the whole. Now we got not just black actors at the top of their game, black directors at the top of their game, black media mogul, black music moguls. It used to be, it had to be a white man or a Jewish white man that for us to put out a record. Now we can put out our own records. Now we got black people in their bathrooms with laptops banging out hits. Banging out the one-hit wonder, Soulja Boy, that, oh, it doesn't matter. Black people making big money and big music. And black people are label mates and Cash Money, No Limit Records, Aftermath Records, Death Row Records, Bad Boy Records, and it just don't stop. Ha ha ha. Def Jam. But you look at the quality of the music that these artists put out, it's some old steppin', fetchin', Mitchell Stroh, buck your butt out, buck your teeth out, performing for master. And we still find that white people are the main consumers of degenerate black art, black minstrel art, while the true black creators, the true black instrumentalists, the true progressive artists go on in obscurity, way back from Gil Scott-Heron all the way up to the Poor Righteous Teachers and the attitudes of today. Our progressive art still gets neglected, just like the white or the Jewish record exec didn't give a damn about progressive, revolutionary, conscious black art. The black African executives hated even more than the white ones did. They suppressed revolutionary art, revolutionary cultures more than the white people did. With all these labels, and we still getting degrading, dehumanizing images of black women, Madea, Shanae, Big Mama's House, Norbit. We're getting the same products, the same dehumanizing, degrading, anti-African propaganda, as Dale Jones called it, as we always got. So for all this achievement, who gives a damn? If it comes, now let me just go to the military. The most powerful, anti-human, anti-life, planet killer, global planet. Y'all want to talk about, we all looked at Thanos, beat the hell out of the Avengers, and kill off of half of humanity with the snap of the fingers. When we're living, we're coexisting with the technology. It ain't a snap of a finger, but it's the push of a button that could kill not half the life on planet Earth, but all the life on planet Earth. And the U.S. nuclear arsenal. The U.S. military is a murder machine worse than Thanos. They got little kids scared of Thanos. And then when they see a soldier, thank you for your service. Not knowing that this soldier is hell. We need to call the, we need to make movies showing who the real killers are. If the Avengers were really about justice and Earth's mightiest heroes, they'd be fighting the U.S. military that are destroying ecosystems. To hell with the people they drone bomb, because y'all don't care. They're poor. They haven't achieved. So y'all don't care about the northern Pakistan, Afghanis, Iraqis, Sudanese, Somali, Libyan. Y'all don't care about all these black and brown people that are getting slaughtered across the earth, Palestinians. White phosphorus, depleted uranium, micro new bunker busters. Y'all don't give a damn about them. But they killing off the whales. The U.S. nuclear subs and their sonar technology are disrupting whale migration. They killing. I know white folks. Oh, wait. The U.S. military is killing whales? I thought we just killed black people in foreign countries. I thought we dropped million-dollar bombs on 50-cent huts. But hey, well, let's stick to the topic. We got more black generals. We had a black man as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. How achievement. Talk about achievement. Colin Powell. They wouldn't even want to run Colin Powell for president. He was one of the most beloved, respected, black, trusted black men in America. And not just by black folks, but white folks loved him some Colin Powell. And when he was head of the largest military in the world, did he say, hey, no more attacking Africa? He's from Jamaica. Yardman. He's a Yardie. He's a Kingstonian. He come from Jamaica. Did he end the U.S. military aggression against the Caribbean, the U.S. military encirclement of the Caribbean, of Central America, of Africa, of his motherland? Or did he affirm the bombing of Libya before Obama? Before Obama unseated Gaddafi, it was Colin Powell overseeing the bombing of Libya, the murder of Gaddafi's daughter. If it was no Colin Powell, there would have never been an AFRICOM or CENTCOM. Colin Powell, the international war criminal. So, and that's the top. So you trickle on down to the rank and file, to the GIs, general infantry. And they go overseas. Now, there wasn't always the case. There was a time in the Philippine War, back in the early 1900s, when black folks were recruited, and they didn't even want to give black folks guns. They made black people peel potatoes and clean the weapons and load the munitions. We had to do grunt work when we enlisted in the military because black people didn't have the coordination to shoot right, and we didn't have the bravery to fight in the face of war. That's what they would teach us about ourselves. But we got out of that trap. But they took black folks over to the Philippines to fight, to kill the Filipinos for U.S. imperialism. And go look up this man, David Fagan. There were literally hundreds of black soldiers that went overseas and said, listen, they got me over here killing black folks, black Filipinos, people whose skin is as dark as mine. They got me on the shores of Tripoli. They got me in Cuba killing off black folks. And black people started defecting, even in Vietnam. Black people took the grenades and used to frag their lieutenants. They'd be like, go take that hill. And it's like, well, we can go up that hill and kill a 1,000 Vietnamese, or we could just kill our captain and say he got clipped by the enemy and not have to kill anybody else. So kill 1,000 or kill one. That's what ended the Vietnam War. There's a wonderful book on it. You ain't got to take my word for nothing I'm saying here. Called Bloods. Black soldiers in Vietnam. But black people were defecting from the military. But now, they don't have mass defections anymore. You got black people stationed in Okinawa, raping the Okinawans. You got black people stationed on the African continent, rooting out terrorists. And who's a terrorist? Anybody your commander tells you is a terrorist. I don't care if it's a baby suckling at the mother's breast. If your commander tells you that's a terrorist, then shoot it. And that's exactly what they do. And then we don't understand why they come back here and commit suicide or start smoking meth and snorting coke, because they can't come to terms with the atrocities they committed. But they can't stand up and say, hey, I'm going to expose this. They like to come back and play the hero. Y'all black people, I can't believe how many black people I had to bump heads with on Veterans Day, because I was putting out some reality and truth about who veterans are and what the U.S. military is. But I digress. All this black achievement. And what is the point of black achievement? We used to assert that black individual achievement was a stepping stone for black collective achievement. And that's why even black people who don't know you will praise you. That's why when I was a young black man, And my wife and I, we had our first child, and we walk up and down the streets of New York, and other black people who never seen us before be like, good, a black family. And they give us praise and encouragement. That's why when my wife graduated and she got her doctorate, and her sister, her older sister, wanted to take her out to dinner, black people that didn't even know her saw her wearing her regalia and was like, right on, black woman. You go, black sister. You go, sister. You go, girl. And black people applauding. Black person, they don't know my wife. They never seen her before, but they see what she's done. They see the symbols of her accomplishment and her hard work. And so they say, you go. So a young brother coming through the community, see him working hard, see a young black entrepreneur. They showed that young boy last year online cutting grass, getting his little cousins, got his little grass cutting business. And black people are like, yeah, because black people have long had this sense that if one of us get a little something, then the rest of us going to get a little something. Because that's how we had to do. We had no options. Because the political system discriminated against us. The economic system discriminated against us. The educational system discriminated against us. The average white redneck individual that had no teeth, no property, no nothing. All he had was his dingy white, unwashed white skin. Knew he was better than us and could treat us up in a subhuman manner with no consequences. So black people long ago, since the era of Reconstruction, since the Jim Crow era, have developed this understanding. Even now, every black community I go to, just last year, I was in Detroit, I was in St. Louis, I was in Oakland, California, I was in New York City, I was in these black metropolis, I was in Kansas City, of course. And everywhere I go, if you're walking the street of the black community, these places, people tell me, oh, it's terrible. And you see another black person and you nod at that black person, you greet that black person, they gonna greet you back. We all cousins. And even if you read old novels of the past, Invisible Man, you watch the media, one of the main complaints black people had against white people had against blacks in the 40s and 50s and 30s is blacks all stick together. If one tell a lie, they all gonna repeat that lie. You can't trust the blacks because they stick together. We used to be criticized for being too unified. Of all, if one of them takes a position, they're all going to take that position. We used to move like a horde, like a swarm. And they hated that about us. But they fixed it, didn't they? They fixed it good. And now it's all about individuality. Get mine, do you, player. See how many Fs I give. I give no Fs. That was done by design. We didn't even see that. Like I said, the trap. Part of breaking that unity was the achievement trap. So there was a time in this country where black people in the post-slavery era, the post-emancipation era, where you might have a community of 2,000 black people and maybe a dozen of them could read. But a black person, every black person, every individual black person that could read was going to make sure another dozen, each one teach one, which is a dope song. I'm going to have to play that for the days out. Each one teach one. So we could celebrate a black person becoming literate because we knew that black person who became literate was going to teach at least another dozen to 20 other black people how to read. And then those 20 black people who learned how to read would teach 20 each individual would teach another dozen to 20 other black people to read. And grandsons were teaching their grandfathers how to read. And granddaughters were teaching their great grandmas how to read. So we could celebrate that achievement of literacy because the literacy was going to spread through the community like a spore. You were happy when a black person went off to vocational school. There was a time where black people, it made a lot of sense if you saw a black man go off to the vocational school. Because when he graduated vocational school, he going to come work on your house. He going to work on her house. He going to build you a house. And even if you ain't got money, you cook him a bucket of chitlins. You fry him up a few chickens. You bring him a couple of buckets of milk from your cow. And it was an internal barter system. Didn't nobody have nothing. You knew if a black man went off to medical school If a black girl, because this is the circumstances, don't blame me, but she had to go off to secretary or to a teacher's college back in the 20s and 30s. They didn't allow black women to go to med school. But if you knew if a black girl went off to secretarial school, she'll come back and keeps the books for half the businesses in the black community. And she go to the black butcher, do his paperwork, make sure his license, everything's in order. Then she go to the black funerary director, to the black funeral director and do his books. Go to the black church, do the books. And you know, a secretary was the community account. A black man go off to medical school in the 1920s, 30s, 40s. He couldn't work on white bodies. So even he going, all he could work on is black folks. And then he had to come and still pay homage to the herbalist because he couldn't get the good white medicine. He couldn't get access to the good. So he still had to have some communal tribal based type medicine going on. But you knew he'd come back to the hood. And, you know, in the hood, because you couldn't live nowhere else, the doctor might have a nicer car. The teacher might not have a nicer house. The minister's son might have a nice house and a nice car, but it was all in. It was all in our community. And the black preacher could buy his black car and take it to a black mechanic, a black electrician, all in the black, because white folks, we couldn't work on white folks' stuff. And even if white folks let us come over to their neighborhood to work, they say they had to sundown town. They say get out of town by sundown. So even if he was working there by sundown, he'd be back in the community using his skills, using his talents, and making his dollars bounce all through the hood. And that was a time where it made a lot of sense for us to celebrate black achievement, where an achievement of one black person was the achievement for us all. Progress of one meant Congo. When one go, all go. And that was reflected in the literature. It was reflected in the music. It was reflected in the economics. It was reflected in the culture. But that got blown up because black people were a threat. Not a threat, military threat. Not a political threat, but a psychological threat. White people, and we think when white people, oh, I ain't got no gun, I ain't militant, I don't hate the government, I'm a loyal, patriotic American, I love everybody, and we still come under attack. We still come under suspicion because it's a psychological thing. It's an ego mechanism. They can't see us do good. They get mad when they see, that's why you see it, they calling the police on us just trying to survive, just living. Barbecuing and selling lemonade in front of our own doorsteps. Die, nigga. They want us dead for that. I mean, go read the Iceman's Inheritance. Go read the ISIS papers. Go read Urugu. Read the psychopathic racial personality. And while I'm talking about the psychopathic racial personality written by Dr. Bobby E. Wright, Dr. Bobby E. Wright also said he talked mostly about the black medical professionals, how they have us, they mean us no good. They have no intention of sacrificing. And here's the thing about black medical professional. Black people come out of medical school on average with a lot more debt than white folks. Black, you know, he's a black doctor and all that. He gets all this respect. All the ladies love him. He got the nicest car. He got a nice house. But what you don't see behind that veil of affluence, that veil of wealth and status, is a mountain of multi-million dollars of interest-bearing debt. So when he does get that residency, when he does get that attending physician slot, and he walks in there and sees racist, discriminatory practices, he going to turn the other cheek because he got to make them six figures to pay off them seven figures. That alone. Unless he went to Cuba for medical school. And everybody, like I said, ain't that strong. Some people, too few people, say to hell with the debt. I'll live in poverty before I sell out. But that's a rare breed. We get one of those every couple of generations. But going back, there was a time where it made sense, where we developed this practice of not only celebrating individual achievement, but collectively contributing to individual advancement. Collective contribution to individual advancement, because by the very structure of the system. If a black person wanted to achieve and have a higher level of education, develop a higher level of skill set, or had a higher level of talent, they understood that the only outlet for your talent, for your skill, for your education is among other black people. We were in legal segregation. We were in an apartheid system. So it didn't matter. You could be the best doctor in the world. Most white people is like, I'll never let a nigger doctor touch my child. You're going to be a black gynecologist between the legs of a white woman when the time where they were lynching black men for just whistling or looking at a white woman sideways. So there was a time where it made sense. And that's how we created the World's Woods, the Black Wall Street, Stryver's Row, and all these affluent black communities, literally from coast to coast and everywhere in between. And all the affluent black communities were embedded in the working class communities and the poor white communities. And we had black ethnic enclaves, black towns, just like we got Chinatowns now, where you walk past this line, everything is owned by black people, either individually or collectively. And everybody in that area worked together by even necessity. Even the Uncle Tom bootlicking, backstabbing sellouts was like had no other option but to remain in good standing. And the worst thing you could possibly do in your life is ruin your standing and reputation amongst black people, because if the black community turned their backs on you, there was no other community that would have you, even pretend would tolerate your presence. So there was an imposed unity. There was a natural inherent unity that developed from within, and there was an imposed unity coming from the outside. And black people took full advantage of it. Even if a black man went off to war, he'd come back and teach you how to aim, hunt, how to use a rifle so you can hunt some squirrels, rabbits, and even deer to put some food on the table. And when the Klan, when the paddy rollers, when the crackers came through, we also had some rifles, and he knew how to clean up those pistols and rifles and make them functional. Knew how to form a defensive formation, a defensive line. And if it came to it, how to dig a trench. He'd come bring that back to the hood. And when it wasn't called neighborhoods, hoods were called neighborhoods, communities, slums, even whatever they want to call it. We knew it. I got a little taste of that. I was born into the last remnants of that, where black people were sharing and working together. We've lost that. But we didn't lose it. See, it's hard to say. If I'm walking down the street and somebody picked my wallet, I didn't lose my wallet. Somebody took it from me. Somebody conspired against me. They followed me. They waited till I was vulnerable or distracted, and they go in my pocket. That's not losing. So we never lost anything in this damn country. Everything that we had at one time that no longer have today was deliberately and consciously taken away from us or destroyed from within. Eroded, corrupted, captured. And so, black achievement at one time, but black first. And you knew back in the time of Adam Clayton Powell, or back at the time where we had all those black senators doing Reconstruction, you knew that politician had no choice. Back when a politician could get elected and go to Washington, D.C. and still not be able to sit in the congressional mess hall. He go to couldn't sit. You're a congressman. You still sit your ass on the back of the bus. You're a congressman and you still can't rent a hotel around D.C. You still coming in the back. So those black politicians knew, hey, if I don't rep for my people, I don't rep for nobody. I can't do for nobody. So we had politicians of the quality of Adam Clayton Powell, who was a philanderer. He was all those things. He was a black Trump. He was out there trumping, had to comb over and everything before Trump. But he produced for Harlem. He produced for his constituents. He justified his leadership role by bringing material progress to his constituency. That's all we ask. If you got some bundles of cash like Jefferson, Louisiana, in your freezer, black people are willing to overlook that. Just like white folks overlooking Trump's indiscretions. You got a little girlfriend? That's your business. Are you producing? Are you bringing? Are you advancing our collective community interest in the halls of government? Yes or no? And all the rest of that stuff, negotiable. That's politics. That's grown folks' business. But nowadays, those days are gone. We still have an obsolete outlook. We have an obsolete outlook. We still functioning like we in a different time. But since segregation, since Dr. Martin Luther King integrated us into a burning house, them ain't there that time no more. We need to become more sophisticated. Pro-blackness is obsolete. Seeing a black person elevate does not mean benefit will return to the community. There was a time where that's almost what it meant, 99% of the time. If a black person got something, he had to spread it amongst other black people. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. And so does the concept of black achievement needs to go with them. And if not, it's like the time where black people were marching for integration. And one of the first things they did was integrate. They integrated the FBI so that they could have black agents infiltrate the organizations that were fighting for integration. You know, and black people were literally, oh, we got the first black FBI agent, the first black CIA agent. Yay. What the hell you think that black woman who is now the first female general, black female general in the Marine Corps, what you think she gonna do? Who you think she bombing? Who you think she killing? Who you think she's instructing her troops to aim their guns at? Who do you think are been, and I have no doubt, for this black woman to get there, being black and being a woman, this woman has got to be a damn genius. She's got to probably be one of the most brilliant black women, one of the most brave and resilient black women since Harriet Tubman. I have no doubts about that. I can't take nothing away from that woman, but who is going to profit from their skills? There's another good song I would like to recommend to you called Who Profits by Souls of Mischief. Who profits? Qui bono? That's what you always ask yourself. Who's going to get the benefit? So all black people have been getting from all this black achievement for the last 40, maybe 50 years, since 1968, only thing we've gotten was a slight ego boost. We got some nice photo ops, a little black kid standing in the Oval Office next to Obama, looking out in awe like he's some kind of god man. All we got was some ego boost. Here's the thing. Who defines what success is? If your enemy, do you think Jews, a Zionist definition of success is the same as a Nazi's definition of success? Do you think the Chinese communist government definition of success is the same as the United States capitalist system definition of success? Do you think the values and ambitions of Africans are identical to the values and ambitions of Europeans after all this time, after all this history? So when we look at a black child and say, be your best self, you can achieve your dreams. What the hell does that mean? What dreams? So what we as a people need to start doing is having an independent and divergent. Because a lot of times when black people go independent, we just have a black version of what white people have. Independent record labels, our own independent black businesses that are just as greedy and exploitative and trying to get the least by giving the most. Gain the most by giving the least to the customer in black capitalism. So it's not enough for us just to be independent. We have to be independent and divergent. And divergent means we use counter values. Where they want a mass accumulation, we're looking for just redistribution of wealth, not mass accumulation of wealth. We're looking for cooperative when they're doing competition. We're looking for justice and peace where they're doing warfare and oppression. So it ain't just enough for it to be divergent. And we need to say your success as a black person, a black child who's coming up, we define success as your level of opposition to the systems and institutions of global white domination and all systems of injustice and oppression. If you make $1 billion and you become the best basketball player or the best business mogul in the world, but you are not fighting oppression, You are not elevating Pan-African revolutionary Pan-Africanism. You are a failure. You have failed us. You have shamed us. That should be the standard. And I know it sounds crazy because we want our kids to take private jets to Dubai and sleep with child traffic prostitutes because that's the modern day example of success. And you go to Will Smith and you see him dressed in Saudi oil oligarch costumes with Tyrese on Snapchat or Instagram, whatever. And they're in Dubai living like sheiks, living like disgusting imperialists. That's the same thing white people did. Lawrence of Arabia, they went to the Middle East and did the same thing. And look at the opulence. You got black people, black celebrities driving through the streets of Haiti or through the streets of Port-au-Prince or to Lagos, Nigeria in a large caravan being worshipped. Oh, look at all the money they have. And they're there to extract. They're there for imperialist designs. Pro-blackness is obsolete. The achievement is a trap. We need to redefine what true achievement is. And I say this, if nothing else I say sticks in your head today. It is better to fail at resistance than succeed at submission. We have to start recognizing that Jay and Bay are our class enemies. They are race traitors. I'm sorry to say it. I wish it wasn't the case. Obama and Michelle are race traitors. You don't hear me, though. I ain't saying go out and throw tomatoes at them. I ain't saying go out and cuss them out. All I'm saying is just recognize the trap. These people represent the value systems of our enemies. They represent the agendas of our enemies, and they are willing to sell us out for a few extra stocks. These people are thoroughly infected with the pathology of our oppressors. The pathology of materialism and accumulation and individualism, of anti-blackism. And the best they can do is try to get more black people into their position. They want to reproduce themselves. Go read E. Franklin Frazier's Black Bourgeoisie. Don't say nothing to me about none of this I'm talking about black achievement if you haven't read E. Franklin Frazier's Black Bourgeoisie. And while you're at it, go read Neely Fuller's The Code. Do you know that at the height, and let me tell you something, all these black billionaires, all these black CEOs, all these black professional athletes, all these black moguls make us no more secure. Guess who had all the money? Guess who had all the clout and all the status in Nazi Germany before Hitler came to power? You go to Krakow in Poland. You go, there's a movie. If you don't want to read the text, there's a movie called Schindler's List. And it shows the Jews being marched to the cattle cars. And while they're being marched to the cattle cars by the Nazis, the Jews are wearing fur coats. They look like Floyd Mayweather, Money Rayweather, rings and coats and the finest silvers. And they announced in Krakow, all the Jews need to come out into the streets now. And they had all these Jews burying their gold bricks. They were sewing in diamonds and pearls into the lining of their coats. And they marched down the street. And all these poor white Polish people, all the Poles, were standing on the street spitting at them, all their homies, all their friends, their neighbors. So when these white people get to a point where they're stressed enough, where they've, and like I said, go back and listen to my show, Self-Inflicted, all these self-inflicted white wounds. This money, Oprah's money, will not save her, let alone save us. We need a revolutionary consciousness, revolutionary value system, revolutionary culture, and revolutionary agenda that we are executing. These people are as genocidal and colonial imperialist enslaving as they were back then. Today, there has been no change. There is only change in the methodology and the rhetoric. The fundamental agenda of Christopher Columbus is the same agenda of Obama and Trump and the next president. We have to be intelligent. We are very talented. We are very skillful. And everything we've ever wanted from this country, we got. We just keep wanting and asking and working towards the wrong damn thing. So yes, it pains me to see yet another generation of brilliant black geniuses go to multinational corporations and go to Ivy League schools and do all this wonderful achievement. Another generation of magnificent, forward-thinking, progressive black artists, black engineers, black medical professionals have all of their skills and talents and their very value systems and their very worldview and social theories constructed to build up another person's society. And it ain't even a society that is still after 400 years trying to figure out how to treat us with basic human dignity. So yeah, I ain't for black achievement as it stands today. I'm for black resistance. I'm for black revolution. I'm for black liberation. But none of that is tied into black achievement at this point, because the very definition of black achievement is essentially elevating within our oppressor system and gaining all the spoils of our oppressor system. So that's when you get a Beyonce and she wants her own line of clothing. She's going to go open up a sweatshop in Bangladesh right next to Ralph Lauren's. That's achievement. That's what you want your child to be, a sweatshop owner. We understand we love the rags to riches story. We love to see a black person get money, but we don't pay attention to what it takes to sustain wealth. We know you get a hit record, you got a wicked jump shot, you sign that contract, instant wealth. But what you got to do to sustain that wealth? You got to invest in the very genocidal, omnicidal system. And if you're one of those self-hating black people that you don't care what happens to the rest of us, you just want yours, think of this. The life-sustaining capacity of the earth is being destroyed by this system. So you can have a wonderful mansion, the flyest car, and you can't breathe the damn air, you can't eat the damn food, you can't drink the damn water that comes into that mansion through the pipes. You got to fight. Every rational person, use all your talents to fight, to organize, to remake the world according to an African worldview, an African vision, work to build Pan-Africanism. And you can start today. But anyway, I want to play Each One Teach One. I made it this far. So yeah, that's the achievement trap. You know, all you do, you still in a cage, even if your cage, the bars of your cage are gold plated. It's still a cage. Even if your chains are encrusted with diamonds, they still chains. Bro Diallo Show, Q4 Radio, Q4.O. Tune in app, iTunes Radio, search QUE, the number 4. If you're in the city of Chicago, you can also find this broadcasting over the AM 1680. Don't forget Patreon/Diallo Kenyatta, DialloKenyatta.com, live and direct. This is Poor Righteous Teachers. Each one teach one.
Each one teach one. That's how what we do this. Teaching who savage righteousness. Learn to be true to this. It's knowledge of yourself and a science of everything in life. And about 1 century from now, these devils are wrong. One make me white. Jesus Christ is known to some. Symbolic to the gods. Was an original man, today has blind hair and blue eyes. Little white lies are overlooked by those they rose to fantasy. Sticking up pins in the heads of the youth, they're making a duty much harder for me. That's the nation's civilization. I follow the state of such poor righteous teacher on the case, but suckers won't be sucking much. We slave makers of the poor, for such I stand against your lie. Christ of poverty gotta be that which got me, like free me or die. Some say, oh hell, here they come, black men from Jerusalem. With that science of law and order entitled, each one teach one. Now tell them a we are, now it's said, tell them a we are. Now it's said, tell them a we are, tell them a we are. Tell them we are P-R-T-E-E. Each one teach one, got positive and I give that of a truth. I ask you, who's that mystery god? Does he exist? You show no proof. Black youth are poison from the start. Pin in the head, fear in the heart. This results of what you teach them. Black church, white men of the war. You tell them God means that of a spook. Somebody likes that of a Casper. Picture you show the son of the god. Looks like the slave master. Has to be some tricks to this. Cause these just ain't the fact. True and living, listen, Jesus Christ was black, like a little loser a lot. My message to the fools, none of us own 40 acres, none of us own mules. Schools are open all the time, coaches, Shaheed's also mine. Teachers rest within the ghetto, those who seek shall surely find. Coaches cipher miles, and some miles to be exact. That's 400 and some years, they kept the truth away from black. Now each one teach one, I'm symbolic to the sun. See this moon reflect the light until me understand. And tell them a we owe, now I say tell them a we owe. Now I go tell them a we owe, tell them a we owe. Tell them we are P-R-T-E-E. Each
one teach one, black man teach woman, and she'll teach you the truth about himself, herself, and pupa's living proof of math, and math is mind, and mind created all that bees, the sun, the moon, the star, the non-wind planets, and all that seen. Some try chasing dreams, but never find the dreams they seek. Wake up, it's all I ask, cause dreams and fights are sweet. Keep the statement I apply, it's truth and some it hurts.
We have heard of Mr. Bob,
the drugs, the school, the fact, the church. Bear witness to he, the builder, and destroyer, and all you negative snakes, I hate it for ya. Oh hell, here they come, black men from Jerusalem, with their science of law and order and title. Each one, teach one, coach, tell them a we owe Jahi, tell them a we owe Tone, tell them a we owe, tell them a we owe P-R-T-E-E, tell them a we owe the wise, tell them a we owe culture, tell them a we owe, tell them a we owe P-R-T-E-E.